Open your Bibles. The theme this morning, second candle, peace. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. And oh, you could choose so many different scriptures and passages and things. But I was thinking this morning about the song of the angels in Luke 2. This is a good one for that. Verses 13 and 14, you know the story. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying what? Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. Peace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being in your house this morning. We think about those believers around the world who gather in secret because it's against the law. We're 25% of all the countries in the world. The Bible is a banned book, and to have one would be to be jailed or killed. We just thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy here in our country. We thank you for this beautiful Advent time. And we pray that Jesus would, more now than ever, be our Prince of Peace. May you bring peace into our hearts and lives. And may we spread the peace and love of Jesus at this time. And we give you thanks for all this and more. In Jesus' name, saying, amen. So again, this morning it's the second week of that season we call Advent. And for those of you who aren't from kind of a more traditional church background, this might be new. Advent is the four Sundays before Christmas. And it's a time where we can intentionally kind of prepare ourselves and our hearts to receive Jesus anew. And so you probably have noticed we love to celebrate and decorate for the high holy days around here, and I want to thank those who have been a part of that. And again, our themes for this Advent season, hope, peace, joy, and love, and the Christ candle, of course, is for Christmas Eve as well as Christmas Day. So this morning we are focusing on the idea of peace, and where can we find that peace, as the scriptures say, and as I add to the benediction each week, the peace that passes all understanding. Because this is, isn't it crazy that Christmas time elicits so much anxiety and stress and even suicide among people, right? When this should be the most peaceful time. So what do we need maybe to get rid of in our lives to have more peace? In some ways, the spiritual life is more about subtraction than addition in some ways. Maybe that's really true at this time of year. So if we've learned anything over the last couple of years is this, is that in these stressful times, is that people go to all sorts of things other than Jesus Christ for their peace, right? We've all done it. We know this to be true. Kind of like the time when a man attended his company's annual Christmas party. And by the time he left, it was 2 a.m. Uh-oh. This guy had drank quite a bit that evening, and he found his way home, thankfully with no DUI, and his wife, she did not like social gatherings. She just preferred quiet nights at home, so she eschewed all of that, and she just spent a quiet night at home quietly drinking tea. But the when he got home, he was shocked and couldn't believe how angry and violent his wife was, because she threw a chair at him. She screamed at him at the top of her lungs. The man, on the other hand, was quiet, peaceful, silent as he made his way to bed, but she cursed him and shouted at him and only continued her abuse the next morning at the breakfast table. So what's the moral of this holiday story? People, if you can't handle your tea, don't drink it during Christmas. Avoid tea if it makes you violent. Where do you find peace in a world that feels like it's constantly at war with one another? A world that in the last couple years has stolen our peace. Again, I decided to go to the Bible this week to see what it had to say regarding this elusive thing called peace. And the Bible really talks a ton about it, really. It occurs over 400 times in the scripture. Now, the Old Testament word for peace you're probably familiar with, it's that word shalom. It's a great word. And shalom isn't just about the absence of war, right? As we sort of kind of saw for a brief moment in the video, but it implies a state of well-being and rest. Does that characterize your life in general, or especially during the holiday season? What a great way to greet other people. Jewish people do that. That's the Hebrew word, shalom. May you be at rest and at peace with other people as well as God. Now the New Testament word, Irene, it's kind of where we get the lady's name Irene. I had a great aunt who was a very peaceful, godly woman, Irene. It really points to the idea of what's supposed to be the normal state of things. Peace with your neighbor, peace with your loved ones, peace with God. That's what biblical peace really is about. So biblical peace means a restful state of well-being that is in right relationship with the Lord as well as others. Does that make sense? It's kind of simple in a way. As I thought about that, I thought, well, that's kind of a peaceful way of approaching it. Maybe Christian peace is more practical than I ever imagined. If you go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, the creation story itself, Genesis 2:2, you know this. On the seventh day, God finished his work that he had been doing, and on the seventh day, he what? Rested. He entered into shalom, restful peacefulness. But that peaceful order that God had made at the beginning was destroyed through Adam and Eve's willful disobedience, right? And so the opposite of peace came flooding into the world, and it wasn't just anxiety and affliction. It was literally a breaking of an alienation between God and human beings, and we see that and experience that to this day. But the Christmas story says this: in his great love, God promised a Messiah, a Savior, Jesus Christ, who would come and free us from sin and affliction through faith in him. Now, as we talked about a little bit in adult ed this morning, which is always a hoot, I encourage you to be a part of it, Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, he prophesied the coming of Jesus some 700 years before that first Christmas. And you know this verse, Isaiah 9:6, it's part of Handel's Messiah, right? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he will be called what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? The Prince of Peace. Of his greatness and government there will be no end. And we know that from the Old Testament. Then we have this related scripture, the angel's song, right, from Luke. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men and women on whom God's favor rests. So just being a little bit of a student this week, I was thinking about Paul again in the context of our last 3 weeks, and I thought, isn't this interesting? When we talked about Thanksgiving, 25% of all the verses in the Bible about thanks and gratitude, they come from Paul's lips, a quarter. Right? Last week we mentioned when we talked about hope, two-thirds of all the verses in the New Testament about hope, guess what? They come from Paul. And 50% of all the occurrences of the word peace in the New Testament come from Paul, right? So it was interesting. If you look at Paul's 13 letters, how does he typically begin his letters? Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, huh? So I thought this week, you know, Paul is what a great character study model for us as Christians. He's the biblical model of what it means to be thankful, hopeful, and peaceful. Just by the sheer number of times he uses these words. Kind of unlike the time when a man decided to cook eggs for his wife and himself on Christmas morning. Now, this man barely knew how to cook, but he thought he would do a favor to his wife and surprise her. Instead, he got surprised himself by her. She just walked in the kitchen and looked at him like, what are you doing? And she's just started in on him. Be careful. Oh, no, no, no. You got to put more butter in the skillet. You got too many eggs in there. They're crowding. Flip them. Put more butter in the skillet. Oh, dear. Eggs are starting to burn. Turn them over. Hurry. And the man just stood there and stared at him. He said, don't you think I can fry a few eggs? And what is wrong with you? To his wife, calmly and in peace, said, I just wanted to show you what it feels like when I'm driving. Slow down. Hurry up. Do this. Do that. Backseat drivers, anyone? Ugh, don't you hate those? What and where do you go when you lack peace in your life? Again, as human beings, we take this in all sort of directions, don't we? Apart from the Prince of Peace himself. And that's where we get into trouble, isn't it? Almost every time. My first church was in the Bronx borough of New York City. I wouldn't trade it for $1 million, but it was filled with immigrants and recovering drug addicts. That's where I cut my teeth. You're like, big surprise. But I remember talking to a guy in my Bronx neighborhood. I lived in a mob neighborhood, and he, during Christmas time, I asked him where he went for peace in his life. Being a New Yorker, it was a real zinger. I didn't expect it. He said where he found his, it looks like my old neighborhood, where he went for peace during Christmas was to the three wise men. I was like, three wise men? What are you talking about? How are you inspired by the three wise men that visited Jesus? How do they give you peace? And he said, oh, no, not those guys. I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, wise guys in my neighborhood were mob members. I said, mob members? What are you talking? And he just laughed at me. He's like, no. He laughed at me. He said, I'm talking about Jim, Johnny, and Jack. And I'm like, I haven't met your friends. I don't know what you're talking about. And typical New Yorker, lack of patience. He's like, no, you idiot. What I'm talking about, how I get through the holiday season is Jim Beam, Johnny Walker, and Jack Daniels. And I thought, at least the guy's honest, right? Turns out he was an Episcopalian, no big surprise. I don't have a problem with Episcopalians. Just... Anyway, as we said, you will not find your peace that you so desperately need in the company of those guys or my old friend from the Bronx. What does the world say? I've seen these on signs in secular businesses. I think Wayne told me about this once too. If you can stay calm while all around you is chaos, then you probably don't completely understand the situation. That's what the world says. No, simply this morning, you will only find the deep and abiding shalom in the company of the Prince of Peace himself, Jesus Christ. He must be your focus this holiday season. I don't know how to say it any simpler. Where is your focus this holiday season? Thought about different verses where Jesus talks about peace. In his farewell discourse in John 14:27, famously he says this, peace I leave you, right? I give to you. I do not give as the world gives, so don't let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid, right? Is fear an operating factor in your life as a Christian? I mean, we've been through a lot. But do you know Jesus as your Prince of Peace? Again, biblical peace is not simply the absence of war or the ending of anxiety and affliction. It is a state of well-being and rest, first between you and Jesus and then your neighbor. I pray that this would be a season of reconciliation for you, right? Aren't most of our greatest sorrows on the relational level? Are there people or maybe children or loved ones that you are at odds with? It's like, that guy just drives me nuts. Everybody's got them in their family, right? I do. Maybe you don't, but I do. And it's like, this is an opportunity to have the Prince of Peace help us through these things. You know, I don't know how many times I've said it in the last month to people, you know, where they're like trying to reconcile, even though they didn't do the dirty deeds or whatever. But it's like, you know, you can pick up that phone and just say, hey, I was thinking about you. Just wanted to know, thinking about you, how you doing? Love you. Click. Wear them down with love and peace. You can do this as a Christian, right? That would be huge in some of your lives. It would be such a blessing that Jesus brings peace into your relationships. And it's very possible. It's very doable. Again, biblical peace, not just an absence of war, but it's restful, well-being, shalom. Love what Christian author Thomas Merton said about this. He said, it's so simple. He said, if people really wanted peace, they would sincerely ask God and God would give it to them. Do you believe that? I mean, the Bible says, you have not because you ask not. And when you get it, you spend it on your lusts. Oh, hello. Do you really want peace? Does the world want peace? They say they want peace. But Merton says, the world as we know it doesn't really desire God's peace, right? The world's peace is no peace at all. I mean, at best, it's an absence of war. And you stay there, and I'll stay here, and we'll be copacetic with that, and that's all good, right? Biblical peace is so much more than that. you know, as the offering video alluded to, that even in times of actual warfare, we can see the Prince of Peace at work. And I love this from the offering. World War I Christmas truce of 1914, right? 100,000 British soldiers and German soldiers informally decided to live at peace together on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, 1914, almost 100 years ago already. This is what happened. Soldiers crossed trenches, exchanged food, cigarettes, everybody smoked like a chimney back then, and small gifts with one another. And then there were burial ceremonies that they attended. Prisoner exchanges, how about that? That's cool for Christmas. I release you in Jesus' name today. How about that, right? Carol singing and soccer matches happened on those 2 days. Many of the officers were horrified by this fraternization with the enemy, and after that they were like, if you ever do this again, we will shoot you dead. But for 2 days, peace continued without interruption. And miracle of all miracles, they actually had joint Christmas Eve services, worshiping the Prince of Peace. How cool is that? Can you imagine that in modern day warfare? It's almost unintelligible, right? Merton said this, if people sincerely wanted peace, they would ask God and he would give it. But do we really want it? Do you really want the Prince of Peace? The world certainly doesn't. Well, kind of like a time when a rabbi and a priest, I'll leave the Protestant minister out, rabbi and a priest got in a car accident. Both vehicles were completely demolished. Amazingly, neither of these men were hurt. They crawled out of their car. The rabbi saw the priest's collar and said, oh, you're a priest, I'm a rabbi. Ooh, just look at our cars, there's nothing left, but here we are unhurt. The rabbi said, this must be a sign from God. God must have meant for us to meet as friends and to live the rest of our lives in peace. And we should be friends in peace for the rest of our days. The priest said, I completely agree with you, Rabbi. This must be a sign from the Lord, the Prince of Peace. And the rabbi said, just look at this. Here's another miracle. My car was completely destroyed, but this bottle of synagogue wine didn't break. Surely God wants us to drink this wine to celebrate our good fortune. And he handed the bottle to the priest. The priest agreed, took a couple swigs, handed it back to the rabbi. But the rabbi, however, took the bottle, screwed the cap on, and handed it to the priest. Now, the priest was completely baffled by this behavior. He said, aren't you going to have any? I thought we're celebrating our lives of peace and friendship for the rest of our lives. To the rabbi, which the rabbi responded and said, no, I just think I'll wait for the police. So much for peace. That's funny. Come on. Tough crowd today. Do you want peace this Advent season? It's really simple. The more you focus on Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the more peaceful shalom that you will experience. That's how it works. The less you focus on Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the less peaceful shalom you will experience this Advent season. The choice is yours. So maybe peace, biblical peace, is not the tricky or slippery thing that I thought it was. Sometimes it's like, okay, what is peace? Well, here's the biblical idea. So let me give you a couple takeaway points. Maybe this will help you think about recovering biblical peace in your own life, as well as continuing on in the Advent Christmas season. And it's not going to be long before the end of 2022, right? For some of you, you're like, good riddance. I know that's my thought, but it's going to be over soon. Here's three takeaway points. The first one is this. Biblical peace, again, is not simply the absence of war. It's a state of well-being and rest. Does that characterize your life? Biblical peace is actually your birthright as a follower of Jesus Christ, right? Isn't that what the Christmas angels sang, right? God's favor, his peace, is to rest on you. And then finally, biblical peace can only be found in Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. You know, some of these taglines are sort of silly, but I think they're helpful. Have you heard this one? Know Jesus and you will know and experience peace. But if you don't have Jesus, no Jesus in your life, you will not have peace. Could it be any simpler, right? Or the tagline, Jesus is the reason for the season. I know it sounds kitschy and silly and simplistic, but it's so true, right? Is he the reason for your season? Because if it's anything else, you're going to lack peace, I promise you, Okay, biblical peace is yours if you want it in Jesus' name. Amen? He's the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Again, thank you for allowing us to enter your house, to worship, to fellowship, to seek your face together. We're all in different places spiritually, Lord, but we thank you that we can journey together as a spiritual family. We pray your blessing and your peace upon this season. We pray that we would make adjustments and changes in our life to receive more of your biblical shalom, which is our birthright as Christians. And we just thank you for this idea that in Jesus, you are our peace, and all things in Jesus are yes and amen. So, Lord, we thank you for this time. And as we move into this time of communion, we pray that it would be a time of enjoying your shalom and your rest. And Lord, as we enjoy the potluck, the raffle after church, we just thank you for the food and the hands that have prepared it. And we are grateful this morning. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Prince of Peace, saying, amen.